is Masech Tav Adizara, Tav Chav Beis, and we will begin on Tav Chav Aleph, Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom, Tanya Rav Shimon Elazar Omer. Tanya Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Layask Adam Sadeu Levkuti, a person should not rent his field to a Kuti, Neshnekras Al Shemoi, since this field is known as the property of this Jew, and the Kuti works on the field in Chalamoid, so people will think that this Jew's property, this Jew is running his business on Chalamoid. Ask the Gemara, but based on what I was saying, Aval Avi Kachavim, since Rav Shimon Elazar points out that it's a Kuti, that's to a Kuti, we may not do this. It seems that to an Akum, it's permissible. Why? The Amri Aris Arisasi Ovid, as we learned in the previous year, by an Akum, people will assume that this Akum is an Aris of the Jews, and since they assume that this Akum is an Aris of the Jews, so the Akum is working on his own behalf, he's now working on behalf of the Yisrael. Ask Tosfos, why is our Gemara so quick to make an assumption that since Rabbi Shimon bar Elazar says that we may not rent out the property, the business to a Kuti, it means to a Goy we may. Maybe Rabbi Shimon bar Elazar is going to teach us that to a Goy it's also not permitted. So one Teretz, Tosfos suggests, is that since all the Mishnayos and the Brises that we've been learning regarding these questions have said that one may do so with speaking about an Akum, if Rav Shimon ben Elazar here also meant to speak about an Akum, he should have discussed an Akum. The fact that he goes out of his way to speak about a Kuti is an indication that he holds by an Akum its mutter. Furthermore, as we're going to learn at the end of this piece of Gemara, by a Kuti there's a concern of Lifnei Iver L'Sita Mirsho, and our Gemara is going according to the opinion the Kutim Geriyem is saying the Kutim are considered full-fledged Jews. So of course the concern of Lifnei Iver by a Kuti is much greater than it is by an Akum. So if Rav Shimon ben Elazar were to hold that by an Akum it's also Asur, that would be a bigger Chiddush, and that would be something that he ought to say. Another Pshat is that since Kutim compared to Akum or in general weren't that many Kutim, so it's unlikely to understand that we're referring, it's more, and but there are many more Akum. If Rav Shimon Elazar was saying his halacha by an Akum, he should have spoken about an Akum which is a much more frequent, much more shchiach than the halacha would be by a Kutim. So the Gemara is now, in fact, distinguishing that Rav Shimon Elazar holds by a Kuti it's Asur, and by an Akum it's Mutter, because we say Oris Arisasi Ka'avit. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if we're going to follow that line of reasoning. That when people see somebody working in my field, they won't assume that it's I, the Jew, who authorized or wants this. It's rather because of Oris Arisasi Ka'avit. Ask the Marshal, why don't we say the same thing by Kuti Nami? Why don't we say Oris Arisasi Ovid? Answers the Gemara, Arisasi Rav Shimon Elazar Leslie. Rav Shimon Elazar does not subscribe to the concept of Oris Arisasi Ka'avit. And there are two ways the Rishonim explain as to why not. One pshat is that our Oris works on his own behalf. The profit that generates goes to the Oris. And that's why we've been learning already for the second shiur. Chazal were more makel by an Oris, because he's not working at the Jew's behest. He's working at his own. He's working because that's what he wants. It's for his own benefit. However, since people, according to Shimon Elazar, are not that familiar knowing who is an Oris and who is my direct employee, which of course a direct employee is Osir, that's why Rav Shimon Elazar doesn't subscribe to the concept of Oris Arisasi Kavit. Another way of understanding why Oris Arisasi Kavit doesn't apply, he doesn't subscribe to, because at the end of the day, he understands that since the sharecropper, who is the Akum, or the Kuti, and the Yisrael, who's the owner of the property, are, so to speak, partners in my in this field, so when the Kuti, or the Akum, works on my field on Shabbos, he's making my field go up in value on Shabbos, and that's why Aris, he doesn't subscribe to Aris Arisosu Kavavit. If, ask the Gemara, if that's the case, the Shimon also doesn't agree to Aris Arisosu Kavavit, Elavid my Kavavit my Tamim Mutter. We've explained that Shimon also holds that by Kuti it's Aser, by an Akum it's Mutter. Why do we distinguish if we're not saying Aris Arisosu Kavavit? Says the Gemara Darminan Lei, Vitzayis. Because if we tell an Akum not to work on the field on Shabbos, we're confident that he's going to pay, listen to what we say, and therefore we could hire him. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that we tell the person whom we hire not to work on the field on Shabbos, and that's why we don't have any concern, so we should say the same by Kuti. Kuti, Namri Minilei Vitzayis. Let's just tell the Kuti that he may not work at this bathhouse on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Kuti Loitzayis. Damrinan, an Akum, who's not a Jew, is not familiar with the Halacha. And therefore, if we tell him not to do something, he knows to listen. That's he doesn't know anything. A Kuti, however, is a Jew, and he considers himself as knowledgeable, if perhaps not more knowledgeable than the person who rented him this field, and he thinks that what he's doing is permissible, and therefore he won't listen to what we have to say, and therefore we have to be stricter by a Kuti than we are by an Akum. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if we're concerned, as we said at the beginning of the shiur, as Rav Shimon Elazar said at the beginning of the shiur, that if we allow the Kuti to work on the field, he may come to work on it chalamoid. Ask the Gemara, so why are we strictly concerned? My area of nation, Akras L'Shema, why are we strictly concerned? Because people will say that I, the Jew, still own this business, which is owned on chalamoid. Typically, there should be a much more fundamental concern, Mishum Lifnei Evil, Esite Michshol, that the Kuti, who, as we're explaining in our Gemara, we're following the opinion, the Kuti Mageri Emes, the Kuti is a Jew, and a Jew is not a worker chalamoid. And by us selling him such a business, we're creating a situation that he's being mechal chalamoid. And as the Tori Evan explains, even though we've spoken and we will continue to explain that that there is no lifnei evil aseita michshol, where somebody could do the yaveira without me, or he has the opportunity to do it even without me, here, since we're renting or leasing or selling this business to the Kuti, and this is a business that the Kuti is anxious to have, so it has nothing to do with any other business that he may or may not have. And therefore, because of that, Chazal took the position that this is a concern of Lifnei Evil L'Sita Michshol. So now the Gemara asks, we began this year, where Shimon Elazar is saying that we're not allowed to rent, lease this business to the Kuti. Neshikras al Shema, why don't we say the reason of Lifnei Evil L'Sita Michshol, which is an Issa D'Raisa? Answers the Gemara, Chodav Oid Kamer. Actually, says the Gemara, we're saying two reasons. One reason, it's Osir Mishim Lifnei Evil. Another reason is, Nekras al Shemoy, people will assume that perhaps incorrectly make the assumption that a Jewish business is running on Chalamoid. Ask the Achroinim. So now that we've identified that there are two reasons why we may not lease a business to a Kuti. One because of Lifnei Evil, which is an Issa D'Raisa, and one because of Nekras al Shemoy, which is an Issa D'Rabbanan. So why did Rav Shimon ben Elazar only speak about the Issa D'Rabbanan and not point out the Issa D'Raisa? So the Binyan Shleima answers that actually, if we now go back to the words of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, we see that he speaks about both. Because in his words he says, Shnekras al Shemoy, Layask Adam Sadeh Lukuti, Neshnekras al Shemoy, that is to the Isser of Nekras al Shemayid, but now he adds some other words. V'kuti za oisim ba malacha b'chal al Shemayid, which is another way of saying lifnei iver. So says the Ben Yishlema, actually now if we look back at the words of Rishim ben Elazar, we see that he indeed spoke about both issues. But Ritva takes a different approach. Ritva says that most kutim did not do malach on chalamayid. And therefore, the concern of lifnei iver is much less than the concern of nekras al shemoy, because lifnei iver, we only have to be concerned if we indeed think that the kuti may keep the business open chol hamoed, and I caused that to happen to him. Nekras al shemoy, and therefore if it's unlikely to happen, the concern for lifnei iver drops. But the concern of nekras al shemoy, which is my reputation, is a much stronger concern, and therefore Rav Shimon ben Elazar focused on that concern. Tosfos, based on this Gemara, says, as we've discussed previously, there is a machlokes rishonim if the issa to do malach and chalamoid is an issa d'orais and issa d'rabbanan. Says the Rabbeinu Tam that the fact that our Gemara says that causing a kuti to do malacha of on chalamoid involves lifnei iver is a raya that doing malacha on chalamoid is an issa d'raisa. Because if it's issa d'rabbanan, how could there be lifnei iver? Other rishonim, as Tosfos discuss, say on the contrary, you could have lifnei iver even by the rabbanan, and therefore even if the issa malacha chalamoid is only an issa d'rabbanan, lifnei iver is applicable. Which opens up an interesting question that the achrayim discuss. Let's say I cause somebody to do an aveira d'rabbanan, will I be over lifnei iver d'raisa? Some say, what would be a perfect example? Let's say I give somebody a piece of bread to eat, and I know he won't wash. Now, washing for bread is only drabonin. So, will somebody be over lifnei iver in such a case, a lifnei iver d'raisa? There are those that say you can't be over a lifnei iver d'raisa in a situation where the entire Isra under discussion is only an Isra d'rabbanan. Whereas other Achronim say, the lifnei iver means that I shouldn't cause somebody to do an aveira. And therefore it makes no difference if it's a aveira d'raisa or d'rabbanan. You can be over lifnei iver d'raisa, even though the person who's going to be doing the aveira is only doing an aveira d'rabbanan. Now those that want to differentiate if the person who's doing the aveira is doing the aveira b'mezid or doing the aveira doing the aveira b'shaykik. Says the Gemara, Hani Mirukoi. Most Rishonim explained that the case that we're now going to discuss refers to two people who received a property together as sharecroppers. There are other Rishonim, however, explain that the issue here is that two people own a piece of property. The two people, one is a Jew and one is an Akum. Others say that's not specifically talking about the two of them being sharecroppers together, rather it's referring to a situation that they two of them own a property together. And the issue that's under discussion is how could this property be worked on Shabbos given that one of the partners is a Jew. So Duran points out that if it's a situation where, let's say, the Jew and the non-Jew are partners in a business and 6 days a week they work together, and Shabbos only the Akum works, according to the Rambam, the Yisrael and the Akum may divide all the profit. That is not the issue under discussion in our shir, because the Akum is accepted to work more, and the Yisrael didn't ask them to work more. They could share all of the profit. The Rambam seems to disagree with the Ram. Furthermore, as the Pais can point out, the issue under discussion in our Gemara is not a situation where people think that this business belongs solely to the Jew. In a situation where they believe that the business belongs solely to the Jew, we have the concern that we've discussed previously, that people will think, Nekras al Shemoy, people think that my business is open Shabbos. We're not referring to such a situation. Furthermore, the Rivash in the Tshuvas says that our Gemara is also not reflecting the issue of Shvisas Kalim, which we've discussed earlier in our Masechta. And he wants to say that the same issue that we're discussing with regarding a field would be also regarding Kalim. And therefore, back to the Gemara. Hanim Rikoi, we had a Jew and an Akum who were sharecroppers together. Daiv Kachavim Noka B'Shapsa, where the Akum works on Shabbos. V'Yisrael B'Chav B'Shapsa, and the Yisrael works on, and worked on Sunday. Asla Kamei the Rava, and the situation was brought to Rava for a question, and Sharulhu, and he said that this was an acceptable situation. Esrei Ravina L'Rava, so ask Ravina to Rava. It says in a Braisa, Yisrael Vavikachavim Shekibul Sod B'Shutfis, of Yisrael and Akum accepted a field B'Shutfis. Says the Braisa, Lo Yom Yisrael Vavikachavim, the Yisrael may not say to the Akum, you work on Shabbos and I work on Sunday. Because by making such a stipulation, what the Yisrael is effectively doing is saying that I'm supposed to work on Shabbos and Sunday, you're supposed to work on Shabbos and Sunday, and you work on my behalf on Shabbos, and I'll work on your behalf on Sunday. Of course, something, this is an unacceptable situation. Vim hisnu betchila. However, if at the beginning they made such an agreement between themselves, then it's mutter. Again, the Rishonim have two ways of understanding what the Hisnu Metchila means, and actually they want to say that it really depends on how we're explaining our Gemara. Some Rishonim explain that it's referring to a situation that they make a stipulation up front that you work Shabbos and I don't have to work Shabbos, or another way of explaining is that the Jew doesn't have ownership on the field on Shabbos. And actually, as I said, the Chroinim say that it really depends on how we understand our Gemara. If our Gemara we understand is referring to sharecroppers, so the Tanai doesn't speak about shares of ownership in the business, rather the Tanai speaks to obligation to work. If on the other hand we're speaking about a situation that they're partners in the field, then the Tanai on the discussion speaks to shares of ownership in the field. So if they made the stipulation up front, so as we just explained, there was, it's never been the Jews' obligation to work on Shabbos. Since it's never been the Jews' obligation to work on Shabbos, we can't say that when the Akum is working, he's working on behalf of the Jew. However, and as the Rishonim explained, what the Braisa now means to say, that if they did not make it to condition up front, and now when they come to divide the profit, they make a cheshbon that the Akum worked on Shabbos, he'll take the Shabbos profit, the Jew will take the Sunday profit. Since it turns out that the Akum now worked on behalf of the Jew, and therefore it's awesome. So the question the Gemara is asking is, how did Rava allow such a situation to occur? And Ichsef, and indeed Rava was embarrassed that it seems that he gave the wrong psak. However, that actually what happened here was that they had stipulated up front that this was the relationship. And if that was the stipulation, everything is fine. However, the Gemara quotes a different version of what happened here. And as we know, just a word of introduction, the halacha is that any tree, the first 3 years, any fruit that grows from the tree is ola, and one may not benefit from that fruit. However, it's also important to remember that even though the fruit of a tree of the first year is ola, and it's also b'hanah, that doesn't mean you may not work on the tree. You just can't eat or benefit from the fruit. So says the Gemara, actually, what we're discussing here is trees that a tree that a Jew and a guy owned b'shutvis, and the first 3 years they're arla. The Oiv Kachavim ate the fruit from the first 3 years. Yisrael v'shnei de'etera, and the Jew ate the fruit of the next 3 years. Here, it's much less of a question. Because here, as the Rishonim and Achronim explain, the Jew himself is allowed to work on those fruit trees the first 3 years. And therefore, even if they didn't make any stipulation, the guy is working on the tree. Even if we'll say he's a shliach of the Jew, it's not a problem, because the Jew himself could have worked on it. And since the guy worked on the fruit tree for the first 3 years, the fruit of those 3 years belong to him. Afterwards, the Jew works, and the fruit from those 3 years belong to him. And that's why Asl Kamei de Rava. Rava, this question came to Rava, if such a arrangement is mutter, and Sharlahu, he did said it was mutter. Asked the Gemara, Va'esve Ravina le Rava, didn't Ravina ask a question to Rava from the Braisa? And how are we now understanding that question? Says the Gemara, we aren't to understand that when Ravina brought that Braisa to Rava, he actually meant to ask a question. He actually, L'seyui Saye, he wanted to use the Braisa as a raya. That just like we see in the Braisa, that if the Akum and the Jew, when it comes to Shabbos, made a stipulation up front, it's mutter. The case by Allah is understood that it's always like that, even if we don't have a stipulation. Ask the Gemara. But we said that Rava was embarrassed when Ravina quoted the Braisa. But now, there's no reason for embarrassment. On the contrary, the Braisa corroborates Rava's Psak. Savayechsif. Why was Rava embarrassed? Says the Gemara, never happened that Rava was embarrassed. There's no need to be embarrassed because his psak was 100% correct. Goes back to Gemara, to the discussion we just had about the Akum and the Yisroel who are sharecroppers in a field together. Ibailuhu. And the question was asked, Stamamai, if neither in their initial contract, nor when they divided the work assignments, nor when they made the Cheshbin, did they ever speak about the Jew working during the week and the Akum working in Shabbos? Is he allowed to take half of all of the profit, or must he forfeit half of the profit of Shabbos, leaving all of the Shabbos profit for the Akum? Toshma. So the Gemara wants to bring right from the Braisa that we quoted. Only if they made the stipulation that we've explained is a mutter. Under any other circumstances, the halacha seems to be there would be asur. However, says the Gemara, Emes Sefer, let's learn the Sefer. It says in the Sefer, in Baal Cheshbin, it's asur. It's only strictly because they made this Cheshbin, which seems to indicate Hastama, it would be Mutter. Says the Gemara, Al-Mahal Lekla Mishmanah, from this Braisa, we have no way of learning what is the halacha by Stama. And most Rishonim and Achronim are Makel, because this is a situation of Drabonon, and we have the rule of Sveika Drabonon Lakula. Hadrulach Lufnei Edim, Hadrulach Lufnei Edim, Hadrulach Lufnei Edim. Says the Mishnah, Eim Amidim Behema B'Vindagoy Shalayv T'Kachovim. We may now leave our animals at the stable of the Akum. Mnei Shechashudim Ala Revia. They're accused that they would have relations with the animal, which, as we know, even Akum are prohibited from doing such an act. And we go back to what we've discussed so many times. So now we have a situation of Lifnei Ivel Sitein Michshol. And as Rashi points out, that even when we're paying the Akum for the service, we still have to be concerned that the Akum will, because of his Yetzahara, will do this Aveira, particularly as we're going to learn in the Gemara, there is a concern that the Akum doesn't think that we're going to catch him. The Rishonim asked a question, which we've discussed previously, that the Eser of Lifnei Ivel Sita Michshol only applies where, if not for me, he couldn't have done an Aveira. But here, the Akum has other animals. So why is there a concern of Lifnei Ivel? So Tosfos answers, since the Akum has a specific taiva for each and every animal, the fact that he has other animals doesn't take away that taiva, and therefore for each animal there is a separate ula, separate lifnei ivel sita michshol. Particularly, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, they're particularly anxious to do an aveira with the animal of Yisrael, and they particularly don't want to do an animal that belongs to them. All of this will be better understood soon when we learn the Gemara, and that's why we have Lifnei Iver L'Seir T'Mechshol. Of course, Tosfos and the other Rishonim already asked the question that we find, going back already to the time of Rishonim, that Jews did leave animals by Akum, even though our Mishnah clearly indicates and the question is why. So some explain that, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, this question is a machloikis, this rule is a machloikis of Rabbi Elazar Rabbanan. It's Rabbi Elazar who holds its osur, the Rabbanan holds its mutter, and we follow the psak of the Rabbanan. Others say that the concern is only when the animal is left by the Akum by day and by night. Apparently they used to leave the animals by the Akum only for the day, not for the night. Others say that although in the times of Chazal it was common that Akum did this Aveira, it's much less common nowadays, and particularly as the Mefarshim explained, specifically because it's illegal to do such an act, and therefore it's much less of a concern, and therefore the Issa doesn't apply. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, V'loi tisyachid ishi mohen, a woman may not remain alone with the Akum, neshech shudim el arayis. And as the Mefarshim point out, it's interesting to note that the Mishnah at the beginning, by Hamid says, Eim amidin. Here the Mishnah says, V'loi tisyachid. So the Mefarshim explain, because here, by the animal, it's only if the animal is left by the Murmur Sada, the Netziv says this, only by the animal is there a concern of when it's there for a while. By Yichud, it's even for a small amount of time that we have to be concerned. Again, here, there's a machlokes how to understand this chash. Some say, again, here we're referring to situation of Lifnei Iver, because we're not allowed to create a situation where a goy could do such an isser. Or the concern, others explain, is that people may speak ill of such a woman that was left secluded with an akum. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, v'lo yishach adam imam, a Jew may not be left alone with an akum, neisha choshud shudma shvich estamim, and a person may be putting his life in his hands. Ask the Gemara v'reminu. Let's ask a question from the following braisa. It says in a braisa, loich man behema la carbon. We're allowed to purchase from an akum a behema for a carbon. Ve'choshin, and we don't have to be concerned that the animal we're purchasing, loich mishim roiva, not that the animal sodomized the person. Ve'loich mishim nirva, nor do we have to be concerned that it was sodomized. Nor do we have to be concerned that it was set aside to avoid a zorah. Machlokes Rishonim, how an animal becomes muksa. Some Rishonim say that just verbally designating it is enough. Others saying that it requires a act of designation. The Meiri seems to make the following distinction. If the animal is going to be identified as an avoid a zorah, so then a verbal designation is adequate. But if the animal is going to be designated as Takruvis Avodazara, Takruvis Avodazara needs an act. V'loi mishum muksa, v'loi mishum nevat, and we don't have to be concerned that the animal was worshipped. So says the Gemara, Bishlama muksa v'nevad, when we're speaking about the concern of muksa v'nevad, we don't have to be concerned that that's the animal that was being sold, because meisid aksiye, if somebody had identified his animal for avodah zarah, or meisid palchei, certainly if somebody would have worshipped it, lehava mazmin lei, he wouldn't go and have sold it. Ela roiv v'nirva, when it comes to roiv v'nirva, why not lochush? Why are we not concerned that the animal was sodomized and cannot be used as a carbon? Why, if our Mishnah says that we have this concern about the akum, may we buy an animal from an akum for avodah zarah? So ask the achrayim that even if we have a concern that this is something that an Akum would do, why can't we rely on a Chazaka, that the Chazaka is the most animals and not sodomized? So says the Oynig Yontif, that even though we can rely on a Chazaka is only when we're speaking about the physical characteristics of an animal. So when speaking about the physical characteristics of an animal, we could rely on a Chazaka, just like we could rely on the Chazaka that if a person is alive, anything is alive, it remains alive. Here we're not speaking about physical characteristics. Here we're speaking about halachic situation. Is it halachically permissible or is it not halachically permissible? On that we can't rely on Chazaka. Answers the Gemara. Amrav Tachlifa, Amrav Sheila, Ravina Mishmei the Rav. Ovid Kachavim Chasa Behem Tashloi Ta'akar. When Ovid Kachavim will not do such an act to his animal, because he's concerned that it'll become sterile by doing such an act to it. Ask the Gemara, Hatenech Nekevis, where the Akum doesn't want his animal to become sterile, we can understand why we don't have to be concerned. Abiz Charim, that don't become sterile, Mayikal Meima. Amr Rav Kahana, answers Rav Kahana, Hoyle Machish Rebasar, since even the male, if they're sodomized, if they're part of this act, they become weak, that's why they won't do it to male. Ask the Gemara, Elohad Tanya. So this we could understand by somebody's own animal. But we learned in a Braisa. Loich Behemim Eroi Shalahem, we're allowed to bury an animal from their shepherds. Ask them, why are we allowed to do so? Leichish, why should we not be concerned? Tilma Ravalaha, perhaps he sodomized the animal. Answers the Gemara. The Royu would not do such an act. Why would he not do such an act? If the person is going to pick up his animal and see his animal is weakened, he's not going to pay him. And the royal wants to get paid for his labor. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, we learned in a Braisa. We're not allowed to give an animal to their shepherds. Why? He's concerned that he's going to that he's going to lose his wages. So why may we not do so? Answers the Gemara. In the Yadi Ba'adadi, the Akum, one knows about the other, and one knows that they have this tendency of doing such an act. That's why Mirtasi, they're scared of being caught, and they won't do this. Anan, the Lo Yadina Bahu, have a we who don't know about them. Lo Mirtasi, they're not scared of getting caught, and therefore, we have to be concerned that that's what they did. As Rashi gives two explanations. By the Akum, one Akum knows about the other Akum, that's likely that he did this to the animal. So he won't do it to the animal because he's concerned when the Akum comes to pick up the animal and he sees that the animal is weak and he's going to say, this is what you did, I don't owe you salary. Or another Pshat that Rashi says, that since the Akum know that the other Akum know about their acts, so they're concerned that the Akum are going to come constantly check up on them what they're doing, and therefore they're less likely to do it because they're concerned about getting caught. They're not getting concerned by the Jews because Jews don't even think that anybody would ever do such a horrible thing. Amar Rava, and says Rava, Hayadam Rinchi, this is what people say, Michtav Glola Baza, a piece, a marble, is concerned about a pen that could scratch it, even though the marble is a lot stronger than the pen. And Raglay Bechavre Yoda, one person who speaks bad about other people knows about other people who speak bad. And again, perhaps these two Mishalim that the Gemara gave are correspond to the two concerns that we just quoted from Rashi. The first concern that we said from Rashi is that an Akum is familiar with another Akum, speaks to the concern that just like the pen scratches the marble, the Akum knows about the actions of the other Akum. The other concern was that the Akum, because he knows what the other Akum does, comes to check up on him. Here too, the Baal Lashon Hara knows who else and what else Lashon Hara is all about. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if this is the case, Zachar Mekevis Loy Nisbin, then we should not be allowed to buy male animals from female Akum for Kabonis. We need to be concerned that the animal that shall bring the animal shall use it to sodomize herself. Now, the animal, since it's a male animal, she won't become sterile, it's a male, nor will become physically weakened because it's a woman. So why are we allowed to buy an animal from a woman? Answers the Gemara. Kivan the Migraba, since if they would have, they would do such an act together, the animal will constantly follow her. Mirtasa, she's concerned to do such an act because she knows that people are going to catch her. Ask the Gemara, El Hadatani Rabbi Yosef, Amal Taloy Tara Bikalba, and an almana should not raise a dog. And as the Farshma point out, even though the Gemara says we're not allowed to raise a Kalav Ra, here we're not speaking about a Kalav Ra, here we're speaking about any Kalav. Amal Taloy Tara Bikalba, V'loy Tishbe Be Ra Bishpiza, nor should she leave a Talmud Chacham live in her home. Bishlom Barberei Rav, we understand the case about the Talmud Chacham Tzniyala, because since he's a person that's a tsnua, he's not going to tell anybody that he did the Aveira, and that's why she's going to feel comfortable doing so. El Kalba, but ask the Gemara, if we just learned the concern of Kalba keeping the Migraba, that the animal gets attached to her, and that's why she won't do such an act, because she doesn't want people to accuse her, Mirtasa, so why can't she raise a dog? Answers the Gemara, since when she throws meat at him, Mr. Chabasra, it always follows him, her. She's not concerned when the dog will follow her, because Meimer Amrinchi, people will say, hi, the Master Chabasra, this that the animal is following her, is because of the meat that she throws at him, not because what she did wrong. And that's why Chazal said it's Asr. Machlaikis Rishonim, how to understand this case of an almana not having a Talmud Chacham live by her. The Rambam says that they may not live in the same chotzer. The Ravid is not as so strict. The Ravid says that it's referring living in her house, but not living in the same chotzer. However, the Magen Mishnah says that even though at first glance it seems that the Rambam is a lot more machman than the Ravid, the Rambam is saying even the same courtyard, the Ravid saying only in the same house. In one way, says the Magen Mishnah, the Rambam is more lenient, because the Rambam is going to allow it to happen on a temporary basis. According to Ravid, even on a temporary basis, they may not live in the same house. May not live in the same house. Similarly, the Shulchan Aruch says that a single man or man living away from his family should not live by almana, not live with almana. However, if the Talmud Chacham obviously lives there together with the rest of his family, it's much less of a concern. Nekevis says in Nekevis, my time will be achdinen. Why may we not say allow Nekevis to be for the Nekeva animals to be together with Nekeva Akum? Says the Gemara, Amamar Ukfa Bachama, Nesha Oidikacham Mitsuim Eitzel Neshech Avreim, since Akum have relations with the other Akum's wives, or Pamashen and Maitzen, sometimes he doesn't find that Akum's wife at home, or Maitzen is a Behem of Rava, but he does find the animal, and Akum, a male Akum, will sodomize the animal. Bibai say, Mafila Maitzen, even if she is home, Nami Rava, Domamar, they have a particular affection for anything that belongs to Jews. When the Nachash had relations with Chava, and Rashi says, how do we know that the Nachash had relations with Chava? Because the pasuk says, Nachash hasi'ani v'oichel. So the word hasi'ani means nesu'in. It means they had relations. Hitaba zahuma. And that's why it goes on to future generations, and since it goes on to future generations, that's why we have to be concerned that he will do such an Aveira. Ask the Gemara, if that we have this concern for the Suhuama, Yochafil Yisrael Nami, answers the Gemara, Yisrael Shamdol Har Sinai, Klaiso that stood on Har Sinai, hit Hifs Paskuzomason, the Zuma stopped. I have the Chavim Shlomdol Har Sinai, they didn't stand on Har Sinai, Lepasku Zumason, and therefore they have the Suhuma that they want to have the relations with the animals. Taisha says, however, Gerim, even though they came to Klal Yisrael later on, still their mazel, the original neshamas, were by Har Sinai, and therefore they too are included in the Hifsik Zumason. The Kedushas Levi explains that in the Haggadah we say Ilu Kavanof Nehasinai Vlei Noslanu Satayra Dayenu, and all the Mefarshim ask, what would we have from standing by Har Sinai if we wouldn't have received the Torah? But now we could understand that piece of the Haggadah beautifully, says the Kedushas Levi. Ilu Kavanof Nehasinai. And as Al Gemara teaches us at Har Sinai, Pasku Zumason, for like Nasalano is a Torah, even if we wouldn't have received the Torah, but the Pasku Zumason is something that is in itself Dayenu, enough to thank Hashem for. Furthermore, I saw the Mefarshim explain that this is why the Gemara says, and that's the Halacha, Hakl Moidim Debat Seres Binan Lechem, that on Yom Tov Shavuos we have to enjoy ourselves, not just with learning Torah, but we have to have physical enjoyment. And it's always a hard Gemara to understand. If Shavuos is the Yontif which represents Kabbalah Satira, it's the Yontif that we should have the least to do with Gashmias. Why has Shavuos been a Namilchem? Explain to Mefarshim. Why is one supposed to avoid Gashmias? Because since we have this impurity in us, and we don't know how to utilize the Gashmias on behalf of Ruchnias. However, Har Sinai, Shavuos, which was the day that Pasku Zumason, that impurity left Klal Yisrael, that's the day that we don't have to worry about Gashmias, that the Gashmias should have bad effect on us. In fact, the Kedushas Levi goes on to explain, there are two psukim that are very similar yet very different. We say every day in the Shira, Hashem Yimloich Loilam Voed. In Tehillim we have a very similar pasuk, but there the pasuk says, Yimloich Hashem Elokim. We first say Yimloch and then we say Hashem Elokim. Why? Why is there a difference where Hashem is mentioned or not? Says the Kedushas Levi. The Gemara says in many places that one should not say the name of Hashem first if he wants to make a neder or any declaration, because we're concerned that he's going to say the Shem Hashem, and then something chas v'shalom will happen, and he will not be able to complete his statement, and he'll end up having said the Shem Hashem levatolam. Says the Kedushas Levi. But now Al Gemara says that Klal Yisrael Bahar Sinai Pasku Zumason. So that impurity left them. If that impurity left them, we would live forever. So we could say Hashem Yimloch Lo'ilavod. And we don't have to be concerned that after you say the name Hashem, something Chas V'Shalom will happen. Only later, after Klal Yisrael did the Chet HaEgel and the Chet Meraglim, that death came back to the world, can we not say the name Hashem at the beginning of the statement? And that's why Dovra Melech says in Tehillim, Yimloich. First we say the Yimloich, and then we say Hashem La'ilam Voed.